This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
If the trend continues, 2018 could be a pretty strong year for economic growth around the world, but I did say if the trend continues. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The world economy will grow by just over 3% this year, he said, armed with a new World Bank assessment out today. But it's not necessarily sustained growth being predicted here. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, has been looking through the new data, and she joins me here from London. Anu, let's start with one hot spot where growth is soaring. What do you have there? Brazil, right?
That's right. You'll remember all the bullish talk, obviously, before the economic crash about Brazil's economy. It is Latin America's biggest economy. It was a very promising emerging market for investors before the crash. And its economy is heavily dependent on commodities. Now, commodity prices have been low and it's been suffering a recession. According to the World Bank report, though, Brazil's economic growth is now expected to double to 2%. That's partly because commodity prices have rebounded a little bit. Of course, we've got to balance out that picture with the fact that there are ongoing issues with corruption and, of course, later this year, a big general election. So we don't know which way things are going to go beyond the next 2 years, according to this World Bank report.
All right. So that's Brazil. Now, what do we see here in India? Pretty impressive growth there.
India's growth is always impressive, David, but in India, growth figures of less than 7% are always met with big boos and a lot of disappointment. And that's because it's 1.3 billion, mostly young people, need really high growth just to absorb new entrants into the job market. The World Bank says Indian growth is expected to go from 6.7% to about 7.3%. Now, interesting for me, the report talks a lot about reforms that promote health and education and infrastructure, saying, you know, these are no-brainers when it comes to boosting growth. And in those terms, India still lags a long way behind. So if it did invest, imagine how high its growth could be.
All right, so Brazil, India. But overall, this World Bank report has some concerns about the world economy.
It does. I've been speaking to the report's lead author, Francisca Onzarga, today. And she was saying that, you know, the markets have really shrugged off a lot of uncertainty, political uncertainty, a lot of geopolitical risk. I mean, you know, think about North Korea, think about, you know, all the different elections, all the different political changes happening. And she worries that, you know, at some point that risk is going to come home to roost. Here's what she had to say.
So there's a real risk that one day financial markets just wake up and there is a correction, and that would, of course, raise borrowing costs, and that will raise the debt service burdens for a lot of emerging markets.
And David, that really echoes warnings we've heard already. So good news globally overall, but her message is, look, don't fall asleep at the wheel. The road isn't necessarily straight.
All right. And in the words of David Mamet, things change. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand in London, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
If you miss Anu's early Marketplace broadcast, she's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed with me every day. Earlier this week, the Trump administration moved to allow offshore oil and gas drilling almost everywhere off U.S. coastlines. But now officials are backing away from leases off of Florida in particular. This after the Interior Secretary met with Florida Governor Rick Scott, who is a Republican. Other states are expected to challenge the leases as well. Here's one way to beat high rents in the U.S. Commute in from a different country. A cheaper place, hipster bars, and an artisanal food culture in Tijuana, Mexico have attracted U.S. commuters. With one of those official sentry passes, a person can get to San Diego in under an hour. Hannah Harris-Green has the story.
In Tijuana, 2,000 feet from the border, Miguel Marshall is showing me around Estación Federal, the live workspace he's building in a reconstructed gas station.
This space is currently under construction for a tap room and a mixology bar.
The residential part of the complex is already finished. Marshall found some of the tenants by advertising on San Diego's Craigslist page, under the heading,
A Little South of San Diego.
In recent years, he's seen more Californians interested in living in Tijuana and commuting to San Diego. He thinks it's because of California's rising rent prices, and also Tijuana's recent revival.
They have great food, great culture.
And cheaper rent. At Estación Federal, studio apartments cost $505 a month all included, with 24-hour security. For one tenant, David Flood, this means a lifestyle he could never have imagined back in San Diego, where he works, and where a studio can go for around $1,400 a month.
I've been working part-time, like 15 to 20 hours a week, just at a restaurant as a server. That's all I needed to live here and literally do as I desire.
In this new Tijuana, huge condo complexes are popping up right by the border, with swimming pools and security guards and prices less than half of what you'd find in downtown San Diego. But according to Urbano Mata, a cartoonist who has lived in Tijuana his whole life, Americans get the better end of this deal than native-born Mexicans.
An American can just be a dishwasher and live here like a king.
He drew a comic for Vice about competing with Americans for apartments.
The truth is, if you're not making dollars, you ain't worth nada. El dinero no habla español.
The proximity of two different cultures and currencies is already pushing some Mexicans to the edge of Tijuana. But for real estate developers like Marshall, the change is welcome.
There's an emerging country and a first world country at the same space. That creates a lot of opportunities.
Opportunities that include more Californians moving south of the border, especially since rents in San Diego are projected to keep rising. In Tijuana, I'm Hannah Harris-Green for Marketplace.
Folks in Detroit, Michigan, Windsor, Canada may recognize this pattern. Cross-border commuting has become a trivial matter in the European Union, where countries have signed the Schengen Agreement allowing the free movement of people. Folks on the commuter train line from Malmo, Sweden to Copenhagen, Denmark don't even have to flash an ID. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.